Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. Folks, I'm telling you, it doesn't get any better than this. And to help us talk about what's going on, we've got our friend Chris Stevens from the Labor Paper out at Peoria, Illinois. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. It's always an honor and a privilege to be here. It truly is.
Oh, man, I got to pay you another $5, don't I? thanks, Chris. We appreciate it very much. Hey, listen, Chris, you know, we have been talking a lot about the president's responsibility to nominate the next Supreme Court person. You know, I mean, we're at 8. It should be 9. The Constitution is very clear. It says that the president shall, which is a directive. It means you've got to, you're obligated to nominate a person for the Supreme Court when there's a vacancy. It doesn't talk about, you know, that last 30 days after the next president's been elected and you're a lame duck, you won't do it. It doesn't talk about first year or second year or third year or fourth year of your you know, being the president of the United States. It doesn't talk about first term or second term. It says you shall nominate. And it also says that the Senate shall confer, you know, and meet and confer or advise and confer, which means the Senate has responsibilities in this too. And we've got a whole bunch of people running around saying, oh, it's not going to happen. We're not going to do it. They're making up these lies, saying that the American public's supposed to pick that person. They've already picked the president twice. You know?
Yep.
I mean, what more do you want? The president's very popular. We're not going to, the Senate saying, we're not going to do our job and you can't make us nanny nanny boo boo because it doesn't fit their political agenda. And they're willing to override the Constitution of the United States to fit their political agenda.
Oh, I know. You know, there's two really incredible ironies here, Charles. The first is that, believe it or not, if it was another justice that had died, Scalia would be the first one defending the Democrats' right to nominate somebody. I mean, as a true originalist, which is what he termed his view of the Constitution, you're absolutely right. What you just said is exactly what he would support, that the president shall nominate. Now, that doesn't mean the Senate has to approve him, but they've even said that they're not even bothered to nominate because we're not even going to meet with him. Today, they came out and said they won't even hold informal meetings with somebody that he nominates. So, I mean,
you know, okay, and I'm going to hit you with the legal term. That is them knowingly, willingly, and affirmatively saying that they're not going to do their job.
That's right.
They're
going to flout the Constitution.
Right. They know, okay, McConnell's an attorney. He wrote about this when he went through law school.
I know.
So he knows he has a responsibility to do it. He is willingly saying he's not going to do it. And they are taking affirmative action in not doing their job, knowingly, willingly, and affirmatively not doing their job. I mean, there are some people that have already bandied about sedition.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, it's interesting. I, as a writer here for the Labor Paper, I did a little bit of research on this because I'm writing about for this issue of the article or the paper. Interestingly enough, if you go back and study the framers and the people that set the country up, they specifically did not want the people to have a voice in who was on the Supreme Court, which is the main argument the Republicans are making, is that the next president, which is chosen by the people, should choose the next Supreme Court justice. Because in the original setup of the government, the way the framers set it up was that the president nominated, the Senate did the advise and consent. But remember, back in those days, the senators were not elected. They were appointed by the General Assembly of their state. So the framers purposely put two layers between the Supreme Court justices and the people. So not only are they flouting their responsibility to the Constitution to even hold hearings on the nominee, they're absolutely going against what is traditionally, truly, the legacy of how Supreme Court justices are chosen. It's astounding to me. It's astounding that they would be that brazen to not even pretend to have hearings. It's astounding. We should be really scared. You know, if you wear a Republican jersey, you're probably happy and thinking that you won. But how does that win? That's undermining our very Constitution.
Yeah, it kind of makes it difficult for you to hold the argument, oh, we're doing what the Constitution tells us to do, because they're not. They're actually violating the Constitution of the United States.
So
you can't tell me that, well, this is for the good of the country. No, because the Supreme Court could potentially be at a tie.
Yeah.
Okay, which nullifies the Supreme Court.
Right.
So
I mean, they've already lost a lot of cases now because they're not going to be able to go forward on it.
Right. You know, and Chris, my question to you is, well, Mitch McConnell, maybe he's around next term after we have a new president. And they say, well, you know what? Hillary Clinton doesn't really have the right, or Bernie Sanders doesn't really have the right to appoint somebody to the Supreme Court. So we're not going to pay attention to what they say.
That's exactly the point. I think you just hit the target in the bullseye. People, don't you realize that if you let them stop it for this, they can stop it for anything? I mean, they are clearly violating the Constitution. I mean, it's just astounding to me that those that claim to be constitutionalists and strict constitutionalists, you know, like I said earlier, Scalia would be, he's got to be rolling in his grave. Because as much as he believed in the original intent of the Constitution, he's absolutely got to be rolling in his grave. I mean, look at what happened when Adams lost the election to Jefferson. In the last week of his term, he nominated and the Senate approved a Supreme Court justice, who was somebody, Marshall, by the way, who was somebody Jefferson didn't want. And yet he accepted him and let him serve on the Supreme Court simply because that's the way the system works.
Right. You know,
Adams is president.
What we're getting back to is the checks and balances, okay?
That's right.
This is a checks and balances thing. And quite frankly, if there was a majority in the Senate and they said that, yes, we were going to have these conversations with the nominee and we're going to have a vote, Mitch McConnell would be saying, well, you know, you can't do that. Now, I mean, you know, there's a give and take here. It's a back and forth. Sometimes Republicans are in charge in the Senate. Sometimes the Democrats are in charge in the Senate. And that's how it goes back and forth. And you know what? At this point in time, we've had, for how long, a Republican majority in the Supreme Court?
Since 67.
So since 1967. Okay.
Yeah.
So they just don't like the Supreme Court swinging the other direction under the on the pendulum. That's all there is to it.
And, you know, one real other quick point before we leave. Think about this, people. The separation of powers is what's kept our country wonderful. Well, what we've got now is a portion of the legislative branch is now trying to take control of the judicial branch. Because what they'd like to do is determine who gets to decide who gets to be on the judicial branch. That ought to scare every American.
You know what? I think the United States Marshal Service needs to be issued a warrant and to go in and apprehend those people who are not following the Constitution. I'm just
That'd
saying.
Be wonderful.
You know?
That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
But in any case.
Make them do the perp walk.
Yeah, well. Yeah. In any case, Chris, we got to get going very quickly. How do we find out more about the labor paper?
TheLaborPaper.com.
TheLaborPaper.com, I'm telling you, man.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Hey, listen, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Say hello to Sharon Forrest. Say hello to everybody else. In the meantime, we're going to get going. And, folks, I got to tell you, you know, Chris is right. This is one branch of the three trying to exert its authority over the other two. And that should not be happening. Don't believe the commercials you see on TV. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.